And we bless you, Master. And Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. Repenting for every stupid thing we've done that's offended you. For every sin and transgression, for every iniquity, for touching unclean things, for selfish things, for still fighting for our life instead of surrendering it. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace. Wash us with the blood. Wash us. Purge us. Fill us afresh with your Spirit this morning. Let the stripes of Jesus go forth and heal each and every one that is here today. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Let the Spirit convict, heal, deliver, sanctify, justify, and appoint each and every one to their positions. Because the battle is on. The fight is here. Urakasa shanta pakasi. Apotukaso shantakia. Yes. The flood of the enemy has come. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, says the Lord. But the Lord says, I've raised up a standard to those who are willing to grab hold, to those who are willing to deny their life and give me theirs, to those who are willing to seek me with all of their heart, to those who are willing to surrender, to those who I've called, and those who are willing to answer. I will make a way. I will dress you with my armor. I will train you to war. And I will position you to take back my land, says the Lord. To take back my children that have been taken captive from the enemy, says the Lord. And to take back that which belongs to the temple. For I am the Lord, I am faithful, and there's none like me. I am he who was, who is, whoever will be, and who is coming soon. Hold fast to those things I've given you, that you may receive a full reward. Because I'm coming. I'm coming. But I'll first come through my body, and then I will come, says the Lord. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven and surrender. Come out of yourself. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Yes, come, Holy Spirit. Take us to the throne room of our daddy. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive. Break every hardened heart. Loose us from the bonds and the entanglements of deception. Loose us from the fears, anxiety, and stresses. Loose us from ourself, that we may be one with you, and that you would receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord has prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. Thank God. Slap your neighbor next to you and tell him this is your day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? If you don't have a Bible, we have some. I know we have some. The Word of God is alive and powerful when it's backed by the anointing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 26, somewhere around there. 26 is good. Would you read it with me, please? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now this is powerful, because it's according to the ways of of the world that, you know, not many mighty, not many wise, not many, you know. In other words, God is not calling the individuals of the world in the area according to their knowledge and ability and intellect and education. Has everybody got it? He's calling them from the world because he chooses to call them. There's something important because so many times people say, well, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord or when I got God in my life. Well, you know, in this, it's really not true because God chose you. You didn't choose him. You know, he chose you and you didn't choose him. So if you're here today, he handpicked you to be here. You're not here by coincidence. You're handpicked to be here because there's something that God wants to get to you. So when many times people say, yes, well, I have God in my life. Well, I realized something very important because I was corrected on that. And the Lord said to me the other day, he says, it's not that I'm in your life, it's you're in my life. See, and many people try to bring God into their life, and it doesn't work. You cannot bring God in your life. Doesn't work. You bring your life into God. That's how it works. Has everybody got it? Why? Because you're getting rid of your life, and you are now going into the life of God. This is where many people falter, fall, backslide, and go back to the world. Because they're trying to bring God into their life, and you can't. Are you listening? Your life now is in God. He's not in your life, you're in his. And when you're in his, things are different. They're totally different. See, when people try to bring God into their life, they become religious. There's a difference between relationship and religion. Religion is associated with the rituals. Religion is associated with the areas where people feel good just because they did something. Are you listening?
Well, I read my Bible today. I'm a good person. Well, I went to church on Easter and Christmas.
Hello.
Well, I went to church this week. I feel good. What about the rest of the week?
See, there's a difference of you living in God's life. God does not live in your life. That's why he said, give me your life. Why? So you could have his. How many of y'all here want the life of God and not yours? Amen. See, now you begin to live in another realm. Now you begin to walk according to what he's called you to. Because you cannot have God in your life. You're in his. And if you're not in his, you're not his. Are you listening? This is where people get goofy on this religion. They can memorize the Bible. They can quote scriptures. Are you listening? They're looking for the feeling. They're always living by a feeling. If things aren't feeling good, they always have problems. Why? Because they're not in the life of God. Are you listening? And this is where the Lord is bringing us. He says, you know your calling. In other words, I called you, he says. You didn't call me. You might have called me, but I allowed something to happen so you would call me. But I already called you before you called me. You just happen to call me because I caused you to call me so I could show up. You know, when people pray, when people pray, they say, pray. Yeah, pray for this person. You know what happens when you pray for a person? Usually disasters. Why? Because God's going to get that person into a place where they call on him. Every one of us, somebody's been praying for. And every one of us has gotten to a place where we've said, God. Amen? Why? Because somebody's been praying for you. It always causes us to get to a place where we have to look up. Where reality comes, oh man, I really need God. And it doesn't matter what level it's at. It doesn't matter, you know, you don't have to lose it all to get there. Well, some of us had to. I, number one. But in this, please remember the area that God says, I've given my life for yours. That means you give him your life so that you can live in his life, not him in yours. There's a difference. And in this, the Bible tells us, look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 27, he said, but God has chosen the what? Foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should what? Glory in his presence. So that you can say, I did it. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now I want to share something about where it says, for you see your calling. There's something that you've been called to do. There's a purpose. There's a calling. And in this calling, you have not only been called out of darkness, but there's a purpose why you've been called out of darkness. Well, so you can make it home. Okay, well, that's nice. But there's an area where you got to work out your salvation to make it home. You've been called for battle. The calling for battle. That's why you've been called. You have been called out of darkness into his glorious light to become, you've been drafted into the army of the eternal kingdom for battle. Everybody say battle. And if you're not in a battle, you will become a casualty. And this is why problems are happening in the body of Christ. This is why there's divorces in the body of Christ. This is why there's all kinds of stuff going on in the body of Christ. You know, people blame everybody else for their stuff, and the problem is they just don't battle. They just don't battle. If people will begin to battle, they won't have the problems. It doesn't mean things are going to be easy. Because the devil's always going to resist you. Amen? But you're going to get through it. Everyone say, go through it. How many here are going through something? Well, thank God you're going through it. You ain't going to get stuck there, are you? But you know why people get stuck there? Because they don't battle. They keep calling on the Lord. Lord, help me. Let me tell you, every time you call on him, you know what he does? He sends you to a place to learn so you can battle. And if you choose not to battle, you go in that vicious cycle over, over, and over. And you become a casualty every time. And hopefully you won't die in the condition of a backslidden condition in the outer darkness. So you have been called to battle. Everyone say, I'm called to battle. Joel chapter 2. Joel. We're going to Joel's place. Joel chapter 2. You know, think about it. If the body of Christ would battle, we'd be a lot further than where we are. Well, there is a cry to battle right now. And right now there's a call to battle. People cry out. People are crying out all over the world for help. And you know, God sends his people. He still works through his people. Remember something. The body of Christ has been left here on the earth. Hello. I mean, if you are the body of Christ, that means you've been called to battle. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for my many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, and behind them are desolate wildernesses. Surely nothing shall escape them. Who's that called to? Us. This is what God sees me and you like. He's just waiting for us to get there, man. He's waiting for us to come out of this arena where we just think that God is in our life when we're supposed to be living in His. Where we'll begin to fulfill that arena as a warrior because there's a battle going on. And there's a call right now tremendously to battle. Tremendously. Go to verse 15. It says what? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Where's Zion? Has everybody got it? We're the Zion right now. There's a physical place and a spiritual place, but right now we are Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Go out from his chamber and let the bride from her dressing room. Who's the bride? We are. He's saying, come on, let's get out. Let's go. Let's go battle. Yes. Is everybody okay? Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Where is their God? You know why? Because people are not battling. People have got, you know what? Let me share something with you. Many people in the body of Christ are asleep.
Uh-huh. Church, okay. Tithe, okay.
They're not battling. There's not enough battle going on. The body of Christ is to be the sword of the Spirit in this earth. Is everybody okay? There's got to be a battle in your life. If you are not battling, you end up as a casualty every time. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says, make no place to the devil. Well, how are you going to stop making place for the devil? First, you got to kick him out. You know, so many people are putting up with the devil in their house. They're putting up the devil in their life.
I'm a believer. I can't have a demon. You're deceived. Where do you think demons go? What do you think they're looking for? They're after you as a believer. They don't care about the unbeliever. They already got them. The battle's between the body of Christ, Jesus the Christ, and the devil. Does everybody understand that? That's where the battle is. He doesn't care about the worldly stuff. He's already got them. He's coming after you who proclaim to be believers. And if you do not know how to battle, you will become a casualty. In Jeremiah 50. So aren't you glad God sent you today? We are called to battle. We are tired of being pushed around by the forces of darkness. And these forces of darkness pertain to what we call Babylon. Babylon is the world system of Satan. Babylon is the world system of Satan. Satan is the ruler of this earth, if you don't know that yet. And he manipulates and clones through music, TV, propaganda, media, and all the lusts of the world. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 21. Is everybody there? Jeremiah 50, verse 21. It says, go up against the land of Marathon, against it and against the inhabitants of Bakud. Waste and utterly destroy them, says the Lord. Now, that word Marathon means double rebellion. And pakat means punishment. It says, waste and utterly destroy them, says the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. And sound a sound of what?
battle is in the land and of the great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut apart and broken. How Babylon has become a desolation among the nations. I have laid a snare for you. You have indeed been trapped, O Babylon, and you were not aware. You have been found and also caught because you have contended against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory. Who's in the armory? We are the weapons of God. We are the armory. It says he has opened his armory. I'm telling you, the armory is opened. There is a battle going on right now, and it's going to increase, and God is calling his children out from childhood, adolescent, into maturity to become a warrior, a weapon of God. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought out the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts. And the land of the Chaldeans, come against her from the farthest border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps of ruins and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. This is what he desires of me and you. To fight. To battle. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Slay all of her bulls. Verse 27. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them. For their day has come, the time of their punishment. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together their archers against Babylon. All you who bend the bow, encamp against it all around. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all she has done to do her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, her young men shall fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O most haughty one, says the Lord God of hosts. For your day has come, the time that I will punish you. The most proud shall stumble and fall, and no one will raise him up if I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour all around him. Now, this is powerful. In other words, the world system, God has called me and you to battle against the world system. We are watching right now a transfer of power, even in politics. You know why this is happening? Because God has had people battling for the last 2 years. Battling for the last 2 years. They have been in their closets pulling out every bit of armory and battling for the last 2 years in the areas of political arena, governmental arena, battling for souls, battling. See, unfortunately, you and I have been placed on this earth where the battle is between God and Satan's kingdom. But we've been called forth and placed into this place so that we become the weapons of God. We are the armory of God. And it is time to battle. It is no longer time to be childish. It's no longer to be a taker. It's time to be a giver of your life and a warrior of the kingdom. There must be imparted in each and every one an attitude and a spirit of a warrior. It's happening right now. Globally into the body of Christ. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Jeremiah 51, while we're here. Jeremiah 51. And Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. Jeremiah 51. Is everybody there? In verse 11, would you read it with me? Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has brought both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasures. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Go to verse 20. Come on, everybody. You are my what? Battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and women. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces young men and the maidens. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. And I will repay Babylon and all its inhabitants of the Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are the battle axe. We are the battle axe. And I'm not talking about this because it's Halloween, all right? We are the battle axe. We are to destroy. You know how many believers still practice Halloween?
Well, it's okay. My kid just dresses up like a demon.
Nice. Well, she's just a cute little witch. It doesn't mean anything. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me tell you, if you don't know about Halloween, go to their website. It's trueministrieschurch.org. Go there and find out what Halloween really is. That's why some of us are still going through stuff because of the things that we did when we were children. But our parents didn't know any different. Amen? It brings a curse on the family line and on that child. I won't go any further with that. Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Glory to God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are the battle axe. We are the weapons of war against the evil realm of this world. You know, it's amazing in how many people are coming out of the closet. You know, all the wickedness coming out of the closet. It's okay now. See, the Bible tells us in the latter days that what is evil, they'll say is good. And what is good, they'll say is evil. It's happening, man. Listen, you're the generation of the return of the Lord. We have to be ready. We have to start battling. God is going to battle. He's going to come through the body of Christ first. Then he's coming. And there's a bunch of weapons on that table back there. That's where the anointing has been caught and recorded. And it's been put on CDs. The gathering is one powerful one. Spiritual warfare and rhema warfare. Everything's available for us here. You know, the Lord says something very powerful. He said, come to learn from me. See, because if you don't learn, you'll burn. You'll get burned by the devil. He'll use you to burn somebody else, or you can eternally burn. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Psalm 18, verse 37. Look at this is what David says. This is where we got to be, man. I have what? Pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rise up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt in the streets. Now that's warfare. In other words, he didn't quit. You know, so many people quit. Oh, I'm going through stuff. Oh, Lord, you know, I just hate the devil. That's it. That's their warfare. Oh, Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let me tell you something. There is a warfare going on, and there are prayers for warfare. This is not a time to be wimpy. This is a time to stand up and fight. If you don't know, get in Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. It is time to learn to fight, or you'll become a casualty. Pursue and destroy. You know, I said, Lord, what I asked the Lord today, he said, what do you want me to emphasize today? He gave me three things. He said, fortify, sanctify, and mortify. He says, I want you to fortify, sanctify, and mortify. I said, you got it. And that's what we're going after today. There's three areas that you and I must maintain, and that's a place of, what's the first one? Fortify. That means strengthen. Sanctify means separate. And mortify means crucify your flesh. And we'll go to more of that in a minute. But first, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Fortify, sanctify, and mortify. That's what it sounds like David did in that psalm. Ephesians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them so you can kill them. In other words, you kill that thing. You get rid of it. Now, I'm not talking about humans. Do you understand that? Amen. See, even though demons are using humans, are you listening? So you got to look from through the physical realm into the spiritual realm, where you make what is unseen to become seen. See, and if you're not making what is unseen to become seen, you're stuck here. You're stuck. You'll easily be deceived. You'll constantly stay in the vicious cycle. Because you're not fighting what you see. You're fighting what you can't see. You'll stay with oppression, guilt, condemnation, fear, anxiety, stress. And you'll keep trying everything else. You'll change relationships. You'll change jobs. You'll change locations. But it will never leave you. Until you make what is unseen to become seen. Because this is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual battle. Is everybody okay? Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you life. In other words, what he's talking about, he says it's time to awake in battle. You have been called to battle. You have not been called to become a couch potato. Hello. You have not been called to keep a pew warm. You have not been called to just be a part of a family that God has blessed you with. You have been called to battle an eternal purpose. There's more. It's not just a natural purpose or physical. There is an eternal purpose God has called you and rescued you from. He's called you out of survival mode into surrender mode so that the life of Christ you can live and lose your own. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Again, you have been drafted in the army of God. So if you're in God's army, what if you're not in God's army? Where are you at? Hello, you're in the world.
But I'm a believer, but you're still serving the world.
You're fighting for someone every day of your life. You are serving someone every single, every decision and every day. You are serving someone. 1 John chapter 3. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. In who? In Him. So where are you supposed to be living? In Him. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What this means is that sin does not have dominion over you. It doesn't mean that you won't sin. Do you understand that? You will make mistakes. But there's something very, very, very powerful here. And I want you to look at it in verse 8. It says, in the second sentence in verse 8, would you read it with me? For this what? Purpose. Everyone say purpose. So what was the purpose of God coming into the natural realm? It tells you to what? To destroy the works of the devil. That's your purpose now. Amen. If you're not carrying this purpose, there's something wrong with you. You ain't right. You're not in the right place. You're not positioned. If you do not have a desire to destroy the works of the devil, there's something wrong. Why? Because that's what you were called to. You were called out of darkness. Your purpose is to destroy the works of the enemy. Do you understand this? But so many people are just looking to the hand of God to get blessed. Oh, Lord. Give me, 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 give me. Mine, 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 mine. That's all they're looking for, is God as provider. That's childish. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, you shall not want or lack. See, when He truly becomes your shepherd, when He truly becomes your Lord, you don't need to ask. It comes. See, things are released as you do the will of God. Once you do the will, something's released. The promises are released. The reason why people are begging to God is for things is because they're not doing the will of God, because they're not fulfilling the purpose to become a warrior to help destroy Satan's kingdom. That's all they're looking for, is a handout.
Yes, I love the Lord. You think He'll give me this?
Listen, you don't think your prayers are not being heard? They're all being heard. Thank God they're not all being answered. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrew chapter 2. Man, we'd have a pile of stuff everywhere. And covetous would be manifested. There wouldn't be anything done. People would be out playing all day long. And the devil's kingdom would expand more and more and more. Please understand, this is an awakening today. You've got to ask yourself, where are you at? Where am I at? Am I a casualty? Am I really fulfilling the purpose of my call? Or am I just looking for Goosebump City? Am I looking just for a feeling from God? Am I looking just for provision? Is that what I'm looking for, as a handout from God? Or am I actually serving Him in the area of the purpose of battle to destroy Satan's kingdom? Do I have an attitude in the area of becoming, wanting to be a warrior? These are things that we're to examine ourselves. Where are we at? Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Hebrews 2, verse 14. Would you read it with me? Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through what? Death. In other words, His death. Through His death. That's called love. Through His death. That's love. Through His death, He might destroy him who had power over death. That is who? The devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to the angels, but He gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He's able to aid those who are tempted. Now listen, here it is. What was His purpose? To destroy the works of the devil. What's your purpose? Destroy the works of the devil. See, so many people confuse God's love with God's purpose. God is love. But it also tells us what fear there is to fall in the hands of God if you're not right. Hello. See, God loves. He so loved the world that He gave Himself. That's why He said, deny yourself. See, love is denying yourself. That's love. People, there's too much soulish ministry. There's too much foo-foo. There's too much, oh, God's love. Oh, God's love. But see, everybody's talking about God's love and not doing His purpose. There's a difference. That's why you're here today. See, He already showed you His love. You accept His love by dying to yourself. When you accept His love by dying to yourself, you're now living in God. You're living in His life. Now you're fulfilling His purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom. You know, when people are going to go vote and vote for people that still promote abortion, they're going to still promote same-sex marriage. Are you listening? They're going to, many of the body of Christ, because they do not understand the true principles, ethics, and kingdom ethics. Excuse me. And kingdom principles of what God is requiring. Because they're too busy in the world looking for what the government can give them. Are you listening? So in this, many will go to that voting booth and promote individuals that promote death to children. They'll promote individuals that promote sin. And let me tell you, everyone that goes and votes for an individual in that arena will have blood on their hands. They will have blood on their hands until they repent. But when they stand before God, they will have blood on their hands until they repent. Why? Because you and I are to judge according to the fruits of that person. Not what they promise to offer. There's fruits. What is their principles? What is their moral attitude towards things? Are they promoters of death? Are they promoters of faith? Are you listening? Are they promoters of righteousness? Are they promoters of purity? Or are they promoters of lust, perversion? There is a time right now of war. And I'll be running for president next year. My name's Pastor Guy, and I approve this message. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Glory. So again, through his death, that's love. That's love. So what he's saying is, you know, again, denying yourself is expressing the love of God. That's showing you you love him. Through his death is love. Through his purpose is to destroy the works of the enemy. We have a divine mission in this earth. But one of the things that we first must get liberated from is the bondage of the world system of Babylon. Again, God uses man to fulfill his purpose. Go to Psalm 149 and verse 5. Psalm 149, verse 5. The call to battle. Everybody there? Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the saints be what? Joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and the punishments of the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the what? Written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. So this is an honor. Those born of the Spirit are charged with enforcing the judgments that have been written already. Does everybody got it? They've been already written. You and I are in charge in enforcing those spiritually. Spiritual weapons of prayer, praise, and proclamation. Weapons of prayer, praise, and proclamation. God is quickly raising up those to carry the spirit and attitude of a warrior. Again, we have been born, those born of the Spirit are charged with enforcing the judgments that have already been written. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, there's an area where we must maintain the reality of battle. We must maintain this reality that there is an unseen realm that is coming against you in thoughts, coming against you in every area. And if you don't know that by now, you'll know it by the time you leave today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is everybody there? And we're going to go to verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. A what? A spirit. It says spirit. Everybody say spirit. Spirit. Everybody say demon.
Demon.
Ooh. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So what's going to nullify power, love, and sound mind? Fear. Why? Because Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear. And this is how it gets individuals to be disqualified. Are you listening? He gets them to prevent them from going and going into battle. He binds them to the Babylon system by fear. By fear. You know, many places control people by fear. Religious things by fear. See, there's a difference between a terror fear and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, and honor because you love him. That's called the fear of the Lord. It's not anything about terror, but the enemy likes to bring fear of terror to people, and it keeps them bound to the Babylonian system. Is everybody okay? So what happens is when fear comes, it nullifies the sound mind, the power, and love. In other words, we've got to come to a place where we begin to overcome fear and the intimidation, and it's done in the Spirit. It's done where? In his spirit. Jesus was a revolutionary. I mean, they were blown away when he showed up. I mean, what did they say? What kind of doctrine is he speaking about? Even though he was written already in the words and in their scrolls, it was written about him, but they couldn't understand what was happening because he didn't come according to their carnal understanding. He came according to the Spirit. He didn't come to bring a religion. He came to destroy the religiosity, the things that Satan has established. He came to bring a kingdom. A what? A kingdom. And in a kingdom, there's warriors, isn't there? So we must fortify, sanctify, and what else? Mortify. Yeah. Praise God. See, Jesus was a revolutionary. With the expression of his love by dying on the cross and continuing to promote his purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom. And he was passing it on to his body that was left here on the earth. The call to battle is now. Because there's a transfer of power and wealth coming. And the transfer of power and wealth will not be established without a battle. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. Is everybody there? Exodus 15. In verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a what? Stone. So the Lord is known as a warrior, isn't he? He is a warrior. Isaiah 42. There is a call to battle. Your purpose is what? Anybody remember? To destroy Satan's kingdom. That's your purpose.
I thought it was to work hard and get a big house and lots of cars and money. And
no, that's not your purpose. Isaiah 42. Is everybody there? Verse 10. 42:10. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. See, all of this area of praise, sing, what is that? That's warfare. You know, it's not a time to be silent, okay? You know, people say, let's have a moment of silence. It doesn't do anything. It's just silent. It has no purpose. Hello. Waste of time. Another thing the devil gets away with.
Let's have a moment of silence.
For what? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I think that came from the throne room of hell.
Let's have a moment of silence.
I've never seen anything about being silent in this Bible yet. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlines and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. That's not silent. Let the villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Shelah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Oh, come on, look at this. They're doing warfare. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his what? Enemies. I didn't see any bit of silence there. Amen? What's the three areas of weapons of what? I said weapons. Praise. Prayer, praise, and what? Proclamation. Prayer, praise, proclamation. It's the three P's. Three P's in a pot. The Lord is a warrior and he makes war. These are things that his body is supposed to be doing. How's he going to do it? Through the body of Christ. Go to Luke 19. Three P's. Prayer, praise, and what? Proclamation. That's what you speak out of your mouth. Why? Because the devil wants to keep you silent. He tries to get you to fight with your thoughts. If he can get you to fight with your thoughts,
you lose.
You can't outwit him with your thoughts. But you can slap him across the head with your tongue. Glory. The Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Now, Jesus didn't come and think the devil away, did he? He would have never said a word, would he? He came and spoke him away, didn't he? Can you imagine Jesus in the wilderness? He didn't do any of that. He said it is written. Why? Because he was executing what has been already written. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. He didn't do the silent dance. Luke 19. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's see. Ooh. Luke 19. There's something here. I know it. Verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into the far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to them, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first man, Master, you gave me this, and I've earned 10. And he said to the second man, Lord, you gave me... And he said to him, well done, good and servant, because you were faithful in a very little. Have authority over what? 10 cities. Now, I want you to grab hold of this, because in this, the Bible says that the heavenlies take it by force. So if you're taking it by force, even though you do a little, God will give you authority over more. It's got to start somewhere, though, doesn't it? Amen? So don't despise small beginnings. Don't just because everything's not happening immediately, just because you didn't go through drive-through warfare, hello. It's happening. It's happening. Just because you haven't seen it manifest yet, it's happening. But what the thing the devil wants you to do is become silent again. Just because it didn't happen yet. Has everybody got it? See, we're to be consistent and disciplined, aren't we? Consistent and disciplined. So just because it didn't happen the way you expected it to, doesn't mean it's not. It's happening. Now again, they were expecting the kingdom of God to be happen immediately. And it didn't. But it was already happening in the spirit realm. But it will manifest in the natural realm. So you must warfare no matter whether you see it or you don't. Has everybody got it? Because what the devil wants you to do is he wants to convince you in the mind it's not happening.
Oh, this doesn't work.
Man, I'm telling you how many people are convinced that.
Oh, that doesn't work.
When it is happening, he just wants you to stop and be silent again. Because you're wounding him. You're taking back. Is everybody okay? In other words, the Bible tells us something very important. It says, occupy until the Lord comes. He says, occupy until he comes. Well, let me share something with you what occupy mean. It is a military term. It means take possession. Occupy means take possession. Take possession. Take possession. The heavenlies are taken by force. You keep going. You keep doing it no matter what. You cannot go by how you feel or what you see. You don't stop. Is everybody okay? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Almost done. About 30 more scriptures. We'll be out of here. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? The call of battle is now. 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, that's the natural realm, we do not war according to the natural realm. So come out of this. You do not war according to the natural things, even though you live in a natural realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. These strongholds are memory lies. Things that the devil has spoken to you that you agree with.
And you'll never amount to anything. Okay.
Well, you have fear. Okay. We have oppression. Okay. This person hates you. Okay. He loves painting pictures of lies. That's his job. See, but if you're not battling, if you're not in the battle, you'll become a casualty to what he spoke to you. Oh, really? Did you ever know? You know what? I mean, this is how it starts. You sneeze. Are you sick? No, I just inhaled a bunch of lint. But you know, the devil always wants to exaggerate. That's his job, because he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So when one little itsy-bitsy thing's happening, he blows it up 100 gazillion times. And then he wants you to do is believe it. Can you believe that? And most people go, yes! Oh! And then they have all kinds of trouble. You're struggling, aren't you? Yes, big time! Well, who told you that? Well,
it's just me.
No, it isn't you. See, because they can't separate. They haven't made what is unseen to become seen. They're still walking in the arena. Or whatever they hear, they believe. Are you listening? Because they're not battling. They're not binding, blinding, muting, and deafing the devils. They're not calling destructive fire down in their places. They're not involved in getting filled with the Spirit of God. They'd rather just go and keep a little pew nice and warm. They go to religious things. It's time to stand up in war. Again, if you are not in the battle, you will become a casualty. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Casting down. Verse 4, let's read it again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, memory lies. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing what? Every thought. Everyone say every thought. Every thought. How about one thought? Every thought. Every thought. Everyone say every thought. One more time. 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 Every thought. Every thought. You're to bring down every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't line up with what God says, it's a lie. And being ready to what? Punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you do this, when you complete this, as you are obedient to take that thought and compare it to what God says, now you got opportunity to punish the spirit that brought the thought. Hello? So our job, our purpose that we've been called to, your calling, all right, is to deny yourself and your purpose. That's the love of God, denying yourself. And the purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And recognize these thoughts and bring punishment. Why? Because you are an enforcer of the written judgments of God against Satan's kingdom. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 2. Would you read it with me? Do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, hello, what's your purpose? Destroy Satan's kingdom. So what you have to do is you got to begin to find out what God's requirements are. So, in other words, do not be transformed according to the ways, conform, you know what I'm saying, conform to the ways of the world, because you and I, when we were brought up in the world, we were servants of Satan. Well, I know where I was. Well, did you go to a bar and drink? Well, yeah. Did you lie? Well, yeah. Did you fornicate? Well, yeah. Well, then you were a servant of Satan. Well, I didn't know. That's how he operates. His weapon is deception. His power is fear. You think he's going to come up to you and say, "Hi, I'm Satan, and I'm going to cause you to sin today. I'm going to bring out lust. I'm going to bring out this. He's not going to tell you. You must find out yourself. So we are to renew our mind for battle. That's the purpose of renewing your mind. For what? Battle. You're not renewing your mind to see what you can get from God. You're renewing your mind to battle. So when you fulfill the will of God, a promise is released. Hello? Ephesians 6. Is everybody okay? Glory. Three things we're supposed to do is fortify, sanctify, and mortify. Your three weapons are the three P's. Prayer, praise, and proclamation. So we are to fortify, aren't we? Ephesians 6 and verse 10, what does it say? Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's fortify. Be strong in the Lord. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to be strong in the Lord in front of the TV. You're not going to be strong in the Lord at the bar. You're not going to be strong in the Lord in fornication. You're not going to be strong in the Lord in anything else but getting in fellowship and getting in God's presence and getting in His Word. That's fortify. Is everybody okay? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? Wiles or the trickery of the devil. Why? Because you're getting dressed for war. Your mind is getting renewed for battle. You are to be fortified because you're getting strong in the Lord. There is fortification in fellowship. Everybody got it? Everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. You know what? I don't want to see any hands today, but think about it. Did you put on the whole armor of God today in Ephesians 6? Why? Because your mind's not renewed for battle. Because if your mind is renewed for battle, you'd be dressed with the full armor of God today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we have a guideline for prayer. And it talks about getting dressed with the full armor of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore what? Come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So we talked about fortify. Now this is sanctify. Separate. Come out from among them and be separate. In other words, come out from the Babylonian world system, which keeps you in fear. In Romans chapter 8, let's go to Galatians instead. Galatians. Galatian. We're going there instead. I think that will explain it better. To mortify. Mortify is to crucify. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 24. Would you read it? Is everybody there? Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Now go to Romans 8 and we'll close there. Verse 12. Let's read it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Again, the three areas that we must maintain is fortified, sanctified, and mortified. The three weapons are prayer, praise, and proclamation. What is your calling? Amen. Don't forget it. And don't let the devil put you in silence. And don't let him steal it today. It's time to rise up and fight. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the blood of Jesus protect that seed today. And anyone who is out of position, Lord, that they may come to you with repentance. Anyone who doesn't know you today, Lord, that they will receive you as their Savior and that you would fill them with your Spirit and empower them that they may be strong in the Lord and the power of your might to be a witness and a warrior in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.